Daniel does not, the book of Daniel does not give a continued history of the reigns in which he lived, nor the state affairs of the kingdoms of the Chaldea and Persia, though he was himself a great man in those affairs. For what are those to us? Well, he selects such particular passages of the story as serve for the confirming of our faith in God and the encouraging of our obedience to God, for the things written aforetime were written for our learning. Is that true? And that's what I want us to understand. Out of all of these stories, how does that apply for us today? And that's the way I look at scripture, any scripture. If it's telling a story, I look at why is he telling the story, who is he telling the story to, and then what is the result of the story? Because what we want to understand is what is God empowering us to do? But what is he telling us about what we're going to do? What are the pitfalls? What are the things to look out for? What are the things to be encouraged about as well? And so here in Daniel 6, I am really excited because we got two things going on. We just had a situation where there was three young men who had the opportunity to bow and live or bow and burn. And so they decided that they wasn't doing no bowing. And even if they burned, they still wasn't going to bow. So they stood forth in their convictions. Here in 6, we're going to have a similar situation here. Let me touch you on this. It says, the three children were cast into the fiery furnace for not committing a known sin. Daniel was cast in this lion's den for not committing a known duty. And God miraculously delivered both of them, and him is left upon record for the encouragement of his servants in all ages to be resolute and consistent, both in their abhorrence of that which is evil and in their adherence to that which is good. All right? So we got to say no to sin, and then we got to say yes to faithfulness to God. So in 6, we're going to get yes to the faithfulness of God. We already saw the abhorrence of sin, and we're not going to bow down to the idols. So let's get on into it. Daniel 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no, what do y'all have? Huh? Laws. Anybody else? All right, so he's got all these people there to help him. He don't want to lose or have anything happen to his kingdom, right? All right, and then this group, everywhere they went and took, they took the best of everything to make sure that they had the top. So they still trying to maintain a level of excellence, right? 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. How about that? He had an excellent spirit was found in him. And so now when you get elevated above your co-workers, and then you get elevated above your bosses, then we're going to see a problem here. All right. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the king and concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was what?
Faithful.
Neither was there any area of fault in him. Woo. I'd like to have that kind of report. No flaws. Huh? Everything I do turn to gold? Huh? I like that, boy. I make mistakes out here, boy. That Daniel was on it. He had it going. Young folks used to say he got it going on. 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they got to bring out the microscope. They said, boy, it's going to be a little tough here, but we might have a crack in the armor. We might have something to get him. Then these presidents and the princesses assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, flattery, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the council, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god, or man for 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. All right, we got a line in the sand drawn. They drew the line.
So where was these people when he was thrown in the furnace?
No, Daniel was not thrown in the furnace. The Hebrew boys was thrown in the furnace.
Mm-hmm. Daniel
wasn't thrown in the furnace. No. No, we hadn't got to where he was thrown yet. Yeah, he gonna get thrown in somewhere, but he wasn't thrown in the fire. That was the Hebrew boys. Remember, they said they saw three. They put the three in there, and they said, but now I see four, and look like he the son of God. See, Daniel wasn't in that group. All right. So now they got him. They think. So now that was a plot hatched against him. 8. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Whether King Darius signed, they said, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So they set the trap. 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. How many times he prayed?
3 times a day.
All right. Did he do it in private?
No.
He kind of did it out there in the open so everybody could see what he was doing. How does that work for us?
I think that's where the Muslim got that from.
Bobby? Portia?
It's a perverted form of Judaism.
A perverted form?
Yeah. Well, you know, they take it and they go ahead, I'll let you.
Well, they originally prayed to Mecca. Originally they prayed to Jerusalem, and then later in their history they started praying to Mecca. But they did initially pray in the East also. But you know, you look at Islam, it's very perverted. Judaism laws and practices, from the yarmulke to the prayer path to the shawls to even their Quran quotes a lot. Quotes from the writings of the law.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They recognize Abraham mm-hmm. as one of their fathers.
All right. So now let's understand too, if you're looking at it, if you're talking about what they say, they're looking at it from a standpoint of works and not looking at it from a standpoint of just trying to communicate. They feel as though if I don't pray the 3 times a day, then I'm not a real Muslim. You know, you can pray as many times as you want. It's what's in your heart that makes who you are. It says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth gonna speak. So are you doing it for show, or are you doing it because you want communication with God? So that's where I always draw a line. You know, I was raised a Catholic, all right? And there was certain people we prayed to at certain times. We had patron saints of travel, and we had, there was all these other folk and all these ceremonies and all this other stuff. But really, what is the connection that you two have with the Most High, you know? So, again, is it out of your heartfelt to have a connection with God, or are you doing it out of habit? Mm-hmm. Right?
True.
Ritual, yeah. Habit. Are you doing it for standing in the community? Do you go to church? And the church that you go to is because you want everybody in the community to know that this is where you belong. You know, is this church the church to go to? Because that's where all of the movers and shakers go, and you give big money so that you can sit down front and be seen at the.
I'm not going to have your funeral.
Yeah, right. And so you have your place where everybody can assemble when you die and make a big hoopla over you. Mm-hmm. Man, how y'all get all this out of Daniel 6?
You know, if I may, there are a lot of things, let me use your word, nuggets, that I like in chapter number 6 here. But a couple of things that sticks out at me is Daniel's integrity as well as his character. In here, these guys knew that it wasn't going to find anything on Daniel.
Right.
But they said, we're going to set this little plot up for him against his God. And when I got this wild imagination, just visualize Daniel, he didn't change. He didn't change his daily habits at all. 3 times a day at a certain time, they knew he was going to pray. So they set this trap for Daniel because they knew that he was not going to adhere to their request that the king had signed this decree. And when he sat there and signed the decree, Daniel had a whiff of this thing, and he went to his house and opened the window and faced Jerusalem, as I recall, and prayed. It wasn't a secret. It was no secret there. But when it got known, the guys had, they came to the king.
And then Bobby,
I like about this thing is the fact that, did you all pay particular attention to how they addressed Daniel with those pronouns? This Daniel. Mm-hmm. Not Daniel, this Daniel. Mm-hmm. Then in one instance they said, that Daniel. look at that. I mean, it's just kind of sort of like that guy when he said, that woman you gave me.
Right.
Your son, who you knew he was no good, you sent him over there. He went over, you knew what he was doing. This Daniel, not Daniel. And Daniel is second in command. And they don't want to recognize that. Well, so they want to get rid of him.
Well, not only is he second in command, he's over them anyway.
Yes.
So whatever they plotting and planning, he knew what they were doing. They couldn't really get anything past him. But that check, I don't know whether y'all noticed this part. He didn't try to fight them when they wrote up the writing, because they had to bring everything through him, and then it went to the king. So Daniel said, y'all do whatever y'all think necessary.
It's okay.
Because that's not going to stop what I got to do. So now, do we have a commitment like that within on our spiritual journey that there's some lines we're not going to cross?
Yeah.
And even if you see it forming, you don't even go argue with it because you know where you stand. Now here, Daniel see the plot, but he know who he served. He is solid in his faith. Aha! Now, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. It wasn't hard to find him. Wasn't even right there in the wilderness.
Wasn't hiding from no one.
Wasn't hiding. And found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Now they knew what the king had signed. Right? He hadn't long signed it. They explained to him what it was, so they gonna go to the king and play big. They playing big now. Have thou not signed a decree that every man should not ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, and shall be cast into a den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. 13. Then answered they and said before the king, Bobby's statement, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his own petition three times a day. Now, it's interesting, not only did they just say that Daniel, they said he was one of them children y'all brought in here anyway. We had a program going on before you went and decided you was gonna bring these smart folks in and then try to mix them in with us. See, they really getting deep into it now. We were doing fine until you brought him in here. We were doing just great. We had your ear. You know, we had favor. We were working things out. But the only problem was they couldn't interpret any dreams, could they? Huh? Their God and who they were drawing their strength from wasn't doing nothing for them, but it was for Daniel, right? So they done called him out. 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Why?
He didn't really want to do it.
Why?
Well, he realized he had signed that decree. He knew he had signed the decree.
He knew he had been tricked, too.
He knew he had been tricked.
Mm-hmm. Now, he knew it was tricky at that time. And to me, it's sort of comical how the king responded in a sense. Because imagine the king, he looking through these guys and seeing what they've done to have him sign this decree for their advantage. And then the king, I'm going to skip ahead again, the king going to tell Daniel, your God's going to save you, boy.
Well, we gonna get to it. I just want us to understand what's going on. Even when they brought the plot to him and he heard it, he thought about it. These guys not doing right. They done tricked me. The other part about it is Daniel didn't stop him. He knew who he had in place. He knew that. So now he said, I'm gonna have to try to do something to rectify this situation. Alright? Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute of the king established may be changed. So they saw that the king was trying to wiggle out of it. And they came back and said, king, you can't wiggle out of this. Now I know you might have put him over us. Right? This one you'd have brought here from another place, who not even one of us. We know you got an affinity toward him, but the law is still the law.
Yep.
Right? Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
The interesting statement to me, did Darius really believe that? That's the question. I mean, you can't, did Darius believe that?
I don't think you can answer that question.
Yeah, well, then it's like they say on Facebook, it's an opinionated answer. Did he believe that?
Well, the evidence is going to come. If he stands and wins, then for sure what he had said was true. If he threw him in there and he ate him up, and he got eight, then the law stood. So it's either God or the law, right? That's the way I look at it. He cared enough for him to say, I believe it's gonna work out for you. He couldn't stop it, Bobby. He had already signed it, so it had to go. He said, hey, let God deliver you out of it, because my hands are tied. He did all he could do. All right. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So now they seal it up. So can't nobody sneak in there and try to get him out. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night. What was he doing? Neither were the instruments of music brought in before him, and his sleep was not with him. Darius, you gonna stop eating, man? You don't want to hear no music? So now there's a whole change going on in the palace now. King's upset. He couldn't even sleep. 19. The king arose early in the morning and went with haste unto the den of lions. And then when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thy servant continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Is anybody in there? If somebody back there scratch on something, kick some rocks, let me know you all right in there. Huh? Look, before I roll this stone away, I need to hear something. If not, if I don't hear nothing after a while, I'm just going to leave the stone and say, hey, everything's over with the den sealed, it's all good. All right? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Roll the stone back. My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouth of the lions, shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And then the king was what?
Exceedingly
happy. Oh man, he was excited and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Yay. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, that they be cast, that they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones into pieces. Forever they came at the bottom of the den. Okay.
Children?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Let me do this in a very nice way. If you want to make a statement, you get all your family, the kids, everybody. That strikes fear in the heart of all. So next time you do something, you're going to have a little thought in the back of your mind. Do I love my children? Do I love my family? Because if it goes wrong, everybody going down. So it's not just, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you and all your family and everybody. Now, in certain cultures, they go and get your siblings too. They wipe out your whole lineage.
Lord.
Everybody gone.
You also have to think about the seed that had been sown in the kids too. His family.
The spirit.
Mm-hmm. Take it all out. Now y'all do know that one thing about the kingdom.
Let me just leave that with you.
One thing about the kingdom. When God told certain kings to go and do something, I told the prophets to go do something, they said, don't leave anything standing.
Right.
We do know the story, right?
Yeah.
Some folk decided they were going to bring back the sheep and the king and the prophet said, what's all this noise out here? This bleeping and didn't God said kill everything? So sometime everything got to go.
Another point like that, what you were talking about, is when he refused to kill Amalek, and he spared him, and then the descendant of that tried to wipe out the Jews, Haman, was connected to Amalek, and so if he'd have done what he was supposed to do with Amalek, then the Jews would not have had to go through the thing with Esther and all of that when they were trying to. So God is looking ahead and knows the end from the beginning. And those children could have come up to come against the kingdom of Darius, his lineage.
So I know it seems kind of rough sometimes. But sometimes, I'll give you another one. If you get the main part of the cancer that's in the body, but you don't get a few of the extra cells that might only just have a little bit, then if you don't get it all, then something can just grow out of just something just that small, like we say a seed or a cell, right? You only need one wild cell to start affecting all of the other cells. A little leaven? A little leaven to get the whole lump. It don't take but a little grain. And after a while, the whole thing messed up. You don't have to have one apple with one spot on it in the barrel of apples. And after a while, all of them bad. So I know it sound bad. I know it seem cruel sometimes. But sometimes you got to get it all out. My bad.
My point, based on what you just said and what was in the back, another good example of something God told someone to do and they didn't do it. God told Saul, and you may help me on this one, because he told Saul to destroy the Midianites or the Amorites, one or the other, just wipe them off. Women, children, all of them. And he didn't do it. It was Amorites it was?
No, I just said animals too.
It was all of them. But God had a reason behind all of that, and see, Saul didn't do it, and that's what put him in bad, let me say, relationship with God at the time when he didn't obey God.
Then the king in 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, languages that dwelt in all the earth area that they knew. Peace be multiplied unto you. I like that. I make a decree that in... Here's another decree, right?
Yeah.
I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel, not that Daniel, but this Daniel, the one that had the miracle, the other one had a problem. This one has got a victory. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. What you think?
He had a lot of revelation. And I think some of them must have come to him that night when Daniel was in the den, because he was fasting and all day long trying to see what could he do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have been one of those kind of kings that was so full of pride that it didn't make any difference to him because them making that decree and then Daniel not paying any attention to it. Some of the guys that are in leadership now, to see them humble themselves would be a shock to some of us to see them humble themselves as a king and be sad that they were tricked.
Mm.
He could have responded in a way that wasn't humility. So I think the Lord was dealing with this guy even before Daniel was, before the plot was even began to be put together.
Mm-hmm.
Not those satraps. So the Lord just continued to give him revelation knowledge for him to see the living God and all that on this decree. Daniel must have had a strong light witness for that king to see all of that.
Well, I mean, we saw part of the light. He said, when they were talking about Daniel, what was the first thing they said? He had a what kind of spirit?
Excellent.
He had an excellent spirit in him. So wherever he went, people saw the integrity. They could see it. He had what I call a healthy respect among the people. Healthy respect. And it was all because he had a healthy relationship with God. So now, how does that work for us? How do we take not burning and not getting eaten and put that into today's prospect? Elder.
Well, I wanted to point out that the problem that the other leaders had, and you were saying it, was a problem of envy. They were envious of Daniel because Daniel got promoted, and they probably thought they should. One of them probably thought they should have been promoted.
No. You mean there was some jealousy in the group?
Some envy.
Envy in the group.
Yes.
Okay.
So, to me, the warning to us: don't let envy cause you to do something ungodly.
Mmm. Good nugget. Good nugget. All right, Elder. Don't let that rise up in you that you're going to have to start plotting to get to get somebody else's spot. Play the hand that you've been given. Don't worry about somebody else's hand. God gave you something to do. Do your part. Don't be trying to work out nobody else's part, throwing rocks. If Betty was here, she'd throw her favorite thing out there. If you set a cut, for one, you better cut for two, because the ditch you cut out might be for you. So be thinking you're going to get over on somebody and get the spot.
Don't compare yourselves among yourselves.
Ooh, don't compare yourself among yourselves, because you are unique in God on your own. I love that. We all got fingerprints that are only for us. Nobody else has your fingerprint. And you look at how many thumbs and fingers and feet are out there, and none of them got the same print. It's God something. and look how many flakes of snow has fallen, and they said
none of them are same.
And they still falling. Look how many fell so far.
It's
So don't compare. I like that. Keep it coming.
Another thing, you can be so busy trying to come against somebody else that you're jealous of that you totally miss what God has for you to fulfill your destiny because you're distracted.
You got your mind in somebody else's business and not on your own and missing the blessing.
Reading this, sometimes I get a flashback on that guy who was trying to destroy the Jews in the book of Esther. I mean, there's so much comparison there. These guys is trying, they're trying to destroy Daniel, and this guy trying to destroy a whole nation of Jewish people,
yep.
Not realizing he's setting a trap for himself. These guys are doing the same thing here. They're trying to entrap Daniel, and the trap collapsed on them.
There you go. Hell.
Just don't get mad when God shows someone favor.
Ooh.
If he's showing you favor, why should I get upset?
Right. If it's your season, then everybody celebrate when it's your season.
Yes, yes. Celebrate with them.
Celebrate with them. Mm-hmm. All right.
I have a question.
Question.
Was Nicodemus Doris' father or grandfather?
Nicodemus.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
He actually was his grandfather.
He was his grandfather.
If you do the research, that was his daughter's son.
Well, the reason I was asking that was,
I thought I had that down there. I did have a lineage thing in it. Go ahead.
Because he made the statement, "I hope that your God continues." So did he not? Why did he have them to set that degree up anyway? That right. Nobody was to pray for him when he should have realized what his grandfather and father had gone through.
So all right. Did we not read last week that when the vision came, why it came? And it says, should not you have known from what happened before?
Yeah.
That something's gonna happen now if you continue in your ways. So it doesn't matter. We look to see already if God has done something and you saw it, that didn't change a lot. People move right on, other people come talk to them and get them all out of whack. It's who you're listening to. You're not focused on this, and all this chatter going around in the background, you can easily be swayed. Mm-hmm. Right? Now you understand, we had a classic example. They already saw that the fire didn't burn them, so there was a little excitement about that for a minute, then they went back and the people got together, and then they got to talking to them, and what did they do? And then he gonna make a gold god. But you would have thought, since you saw what happened,
right?
So okay. Let me, I got a good one. Thank you, Lord. Flesh, you got to work at it continually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What Paul said, this flesh, mm-hmm. I wrestle with this thing daily. Mm-hmm. And he said, I say I'm gonna do something, mm-hmm. I don't do that. I say I'm not gonna do it, I go right over there and do it. What he said, oh wretched man am I.
Ooh.
So we dealing with flesh, right?
Yes.
I like it, it says, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. Well, if we look back and had that much faith, why are we not where we really need to be right now? I'm just saying. We got to press forward toward the prize of the mark of the high calling. It didn't say stand there and it was going to come to us. Look up that word press and see what's all involved in that. Yeah. That means there's a lot of resistance that you got to put forward to get to that prize. So, in a nutshell, flesh is what we got going on right here. And how did Daniel get past it? He prayed 3 times a day. That's why his head didn't get swollen up and he didn't get an attitude, because he was getting favor and everybody loved him. Because I know a whole lot of people, if you're going to go through all these different administrations, right, and everybody loving you, your head's going to get real big real quick. I'm somebody. I'm over all y'all anyway. So it's flesh that was then they didn't have a chance for regeneration much except when God granted it. We got chance for regeneration by asking God's forgiveness. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Right?
Yes.
Because if any of us in here said we're not going to miss it, the scripture said you are worse than everybody. Huh?
I need to make a correction.
Correction.
Darius was not related to Nebuchadnezzar. Darius was of a different nationality.
Yeah, he was a Mede.
He was a Mede.
I got it right here on number 3. I didn't even come back and look at it.
King after Nebuchadnezzar.
Belshazzar.
They called him son, but he was actually his grandson. But Darius was of a different nationality.
Mede and Persian.
Yeah, he was a Mede.
Okay. Thank you.
Because see, at this junction, Babylon is kind of not existence, you know. And
then the next one was Cyrus.
Yeah, he was a Persian.
The one that I like, based on what you were saying about the flesh, we are also dealing with spirit. You know, the good spirit, evil spirit. We have that within us, good spirit versus the evil spirit. So the spirit may say, do something good, and that bad spirit say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. So we tussle against those two. And sometimes the good wins out, sometimes the bad wins out based on the decisions that we make. Now, in this situation here, to me, they knew better. You know, you mentioned last week, and what I would bring up from last week was the fact that Queen Mother, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, as I call her, she had mentioned some things to Belshazzar prior to the drunken fest that they had. And see, his throne was almost thrown overnight, you know, by the Medes and the Persians. He knew better because the queen, his grandmother, had already told him about his grandpa Neb. So Daniel is looking forward to the 490 years they got to serve in captivity because he knows it's almost up. So he's not worried about this stuff. Not at all. And as God said, Nebuchadnezzar was used as his servant and would not go unpunished. He didn't go unpunished. The Medes and Persians, trust me, they will not go unpunished either. They ain't a Richard Nixon statement either. They will not go unpunished.
I like that.
It ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
All right. So we got a lot of history in here. If you remember from the vision, when he first broke down the giant with the different parts and the feet of clay and metal and everything, everything's all coming to pass as it goes down. Now, words of interest for you. We're getting ready to get into the eschatology side. We're getting ready to, from 7 on, is going to start to have some visions and some revelation things involved in it. So you all who have your books, your books on Revelation, hopefully you read at least the first 3 or 4 chapters in there. So when we start diving in here next week, we're going to go slow because there's going to be a lot of spiritual inference that's what y'all wanted. Y'all wanted revelation, right?
Yeah.
What did God say back then that's yet to come and some things that have already passed us by? Right? So let's get ready.
Let's get ready.
Be ready.
Are we going to finish Daniel? We're not going to finish the book of Daniel?
I'm going to say it again.
What am I missing?
You're missing. When we get in chapter 7, we're now going to get into parts that go into Revelation.
Oh, okay. I got you.
All right?
I got you.
We're going to start getting some terms and things that are going to be in both parts and going to bring forth the whole big picture of Revelation. That's why
we needed to get to Daniel first and not just jump into Revelation and then have to back up. Let's just go in there because Daniel was part of the revelation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.